The guy led her past the main deck, where a dozen pirates' bodies lay in the sunlight. Anya smiled, not regretting killing a single one of them. Then they went through a set of doors on the other side of the deck, directly below the bridge. Anya found herself in a small antechamber that led to a final set of doors. Beyond those doors was the stairwell leading directly into the bridge above. If she was going to act, it had to be now. She intentionally slowed down, as if reluctant to continue. And true to form, the guy saw her hesitation as another excuse to lay his hands on her.
No stepping!
As he stepped forward, one arm outstretched to give her a hearty shove, Anya dropped her wrists slightly. The sword appeared in her hands, blade extended upward and back. He walked right into it. Anya turned. The man sagged to the floor as he stared uncomprehendingly at the wound in the left side of his chest. Anya tested the rope that bound her wrists, wondering if she would have to call the sword again and figure out a way to cut herself free. But true to form, the twerp hadn't tied the knot all that well. She tossed the rope into a corner and relieved her erstwhile captor of his pistol. It turned out to be a Browning high-power 9mm, a gun Anya had at least handled before. She checked the magazine and saw that it was about half full. She waited to be certain no one above had heard anything, and then she started up the ladder, intent on taking the ship back from the pirates. As she neared the top of the stairs, she slowed down and let just the top of her head come up over that last step, and only far enough that she could see what was going on in the room ahead of her. She wasn't worried about being seen. The last step was shrouded in darkness and would keep her from being spotted. From her location across the bridge, Anya could see Hugo, Claire, and Marcos lined up on their knees on the floor in front of the main console, their hands tied behind their backs. Both Marcos and Hugo were gagged, but Claire's gag had been pulled down over her chin. A guard stood on either side of the trio. The one on the left, whom she recognized as the first mate, Jenkins, held a rifle, and the one on the right, the ship's navigator, Nelson, was carrying a fireman's axe, of all things. Captain Vargas stood in front of Claire with his back to Anya.
Where is it?
Where's what?
Get her on her feet, Jenkins.
Ow!
I don't know what kind of scam you're trying to run here, but I, for one, have had enough. This will go much easier for you if you tell me what you did with the treasure.
And I told you, I don't have any idea!
Vargas slammed his fist into Claire's stomach. She dropped to her knees.
Get her up again.
As Jenkins bent to do what he'd been told, drawing the gaze of the others in the room, Anya slipped the rest of the way up the ladder. She rushed over to the navigator station, using its bulk to hide her presence. Staying close to the ground, she peered around the edge. Claire stood shakily before Vargas. Even though she was bent over in pain, her expression was hard and defiant. Anya suspected that Vargas could go on hitting her all night long and she wouldn't give up the information he wanted. Apparently, Vargas recognized that as well. He shook his head in mock resignation and then drew an old trench knife from his belt. Vargas made a show of sliding his fingers through the brass knuckles and curling his fingers around the hilt of the old knife.
Now I'm going to ask you one last time to tell me where I can find the treasure. If you tell me what I want to know, I'll keep my hands to myself. But if you don't...
Vargas casually wiped Claire's spit off of his face.
Wrong choice.
He started to pull back his hand, readying another blow, but Anya had seen enough. She slipped out of her hiding place and put the barrel of the gun to the back of Vargas's head.
Move another inch and I'll put a hole through your skull.
The captain froze where he stood, as did the two guards.
Drop the knife, Vargas.
Anya took a step back to give herself room to maneuver and turned her attention to the guards.
Same goes for you two. Drop your weapons and get down on your knees, hands on your heads.
The briefest of glances passed between them as they tossed aside their weapons. As he lowered himself to his knees, Jenkins seemed to slip and put out a hand to steady himself. While everyone looked to Jenkins, Nelson went for the pistol hidden in his belt. Anya adjusted her aim. Jenkins tried to make a move of his own, but was rammed by Marcos. Out of the corner of her eye, Anya saw Vargas climbing to his feet, gripping something long and red in his hands.
Anya, look out!
Anya raised her hand with the pistol and pointed it directly at Vargas. He let the fireman's axe fall to the floor.
Untie her.
Or what?
Or I'll shoot you in the gut and let you die slowly in a pool of your own blood. Not my idea of a good time.
Apparently, Vargas didn't think so either, for he quickly moved to untie Claire, then Hugo, and Marcos. They secured the other two men and Vargas. Once this was done, they dragged Vargas over to the microphone and held it in front of him.
Tell your men to surrender or we'll kill you.
They aren't going to care.
Then for your sake, I suggest you convince them.
After seeing the look on Anya's face, Vargas did just that. In the aftermath of the siege, decisions had to be made. They had been attacked. Men had died. Normally, that would call for some kind of law enforcement investigation. But if Anya, Claire, and the others submitted themselves to an investigation, their chances of finding Dr. Knowles dwindled exponentially with every passing minute, as weather and time destroyed any clues that might have been left behind. Even worse, Dr. Knowles might be in need of medical attention. After a bit of discussion, they decided to maroon the pirates at sea and report their location to the authorities. The pirates were stripped of their weapons, their hands were bound behind their backs, and then they were marched down to the main deck.